Roll through the town, escalating the mount. Roll through the town, escalating the mounts. Roll through the town, escalating the mount. Roll through the town, escalating the mounts.
Up on my business, be damn if I be last. Late night making plans on how to maintain. We're getting
stop. All right, thank you guys for joining us here. We are finally here at the season finale of the Black Thought Podcast, Healing for the Soul. We are finally here at another season finale, and I can't believe it. I'm shocked that y'all let me talk like this. Wow. So thank y'all so much. Somebody out there likes me. Thank y'all. Today, I wanted to close us out on this season doing something that is really, really needed, I think. I wanted to talk about the strength and the power of Black women. I always feel like just because I've grown up under the tutelage and the leadership of a Black woman, I feel like a lot of times we don't acknowledge the strength and the heart that it takes to be a Black woman in today's society, because we know today is hell on wheels, if you really want to be honest. And I wanted to use this as a tribute to the strength and to honor those Black women who have paved the way for all of us to be able to do all that we've been able to do, especially for us as Black men. We definitely got to give it up to the Black women that support us, mothers, teachers, sisters, cousins, whatever. Give it up to the ones that have supported us for so long. And today I am joined by a phenomenal woman, y'all. I am joined by someone who has, I'm trying to think how I can word this for the people so it's not too emotional. Somebody who has definitely, I've been honored, enabled, and blessed to watch her grow into who she is today. I'm really excited about this one. Me and the team were saying we needed somebody on the last episode to really, really bring it home. And we started throwing around names, and somebody was like, "What about Renasia?" And I was like, okay. We need to do that. So when I reached out and she said, yeah, great. I'm just thinking this is the voice that she said it in. Yeah, great. All right. Yeah, cool. I was like, okay. We got some action here. So y'all, I am very, very excited, very, very honored to have Renasia, Miss Renasia Powell here on the show. Renasia, you can talk to the people.
What's up, everybody? I have known Marquis since the sixth grade. We were about, 11 years old? Yeah, so we basically grew up together. So it's definitely great to be a part of this podcast and to be able to join you today.
I appreciate you for being here. I think this conversation is years in the making. I will definitely go out on a limb and say this is a conversation definitely that I think is needed, and one that I definitely see a lot of people really being changed by. So you guys, before we start this, I want you guys to go ahead and get settled, get comfortable, join me, join Renasia and my beanbag that I'm sitting in. Join us here so that we can go ahead and, you know, we can talk that good talk. So in starting this, I want to say this about you. I have watched you come into what I feel like is your best years. And when I say that, what I mean is I feel like just like you said, we've known each other for years, and we have seen each other go through things that probably would break a normal person.
Yeah.
And in me seeing you go through all of those things that you've gone through, I've watched you be incredibly strong. And you've been stronger, if we really want to be honest, you've been stronger, more strong than men, two times your age. I want to ask you, starting off, where do you get your strength from? What do you think it is that has allowed you to go through everything that you've been through so far in your life? What has allowed you to be strong?
Making my enemies my footstool.
Explain that for me.
And by enemies, I mean any type of trial or tribulation I've ever been through. I've always made that the foundation of just being better and going forward. Like, I'm not gonna stay here. I'm not gonna be here forever. I'm gonna push through, be resilient. It's been hard trying to do that. It takes time to get there, but it's definitely where my strength comes from, because I learned I can't count on anybody but myself. I can ask anybody in the world for advice, but if I'm not putting any action into that, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. So it solely, I just relied on myself.
Yeah. This is the first episode where I think we need to go ahead and pass the collection plate around this early. This early, y'all. I got the evangelist here on the episode here. If you're just tuning in, this is the season finale episode of the Black Thought Podcast, Healing for the Soul. I am joined by Miss Renasia Powell. Y'all, she's already coming out the gate with some heat. So you said resiliency.
Yeah.
I think that if I can give a little bit of my background, I've watched my mom go through a lot of things as a single woman, raising her kids and trying to teach her kids the right and the wrong, you know, trying to help us to be who we are. And I remember there being times where, once again, that strength and trying to be able to bounce back from different things that have happened or different things that may have, you know, would probably take a few people out, she's bounced back from. And in that resiliency, if you can tell me, when do you think, and you don't have to go too deep if you don't want to, but when do you think in all of your journey, everything that you've been through, when do you think that resiliency kind of clicked on for you?
Whenever I had my daughter. I gave birth to her when I was 19 years old. Like, you know, I was only a freshman in college at the time. So I remember at the time I was working at McDonald's in one of the poorest counties in North Carolina, where I was born, which is Columbus County. And I remember me going back and telling my supervisor, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm pregnant, I'm still in school. They kept asking me, so you're going to quit school and just work here? And I kept saying, well, why would you assume that I'm going to quit school? Because I'm pregnant. So it's things like that where I was just like, oh, you're trying to make me a statistic. You're trying to take me from what I've been working so hard for. You know, God put her in my life for a reason. She was born for a reason. I told myself, I'm not going to listen to these people talking about, oh, you're going to drop out of school. Not dropping out of school because I have a child. When did that right there was my drive. She's going to see me do good in life. She's going to see me succeed. And look, now next month I'll have my MPH. So if I would have listened to those people at the time and didn't have any type of backbone or any piece of resiliency in my body, God knows what I would be doing. But that's what I'm saying. You have to brush that stuff off. Don't listen to it. And I know it's easier said than done, but at some point in time, like I said before, you have to only rely on yourself and count on yourself. Nobody else can make you push forward and do what you need to be doing in this life. Don't depend on nobody but yourself. That's where resilience comes from, is counting on yourself and nobody else. No matter what your obstacle is, That's what resilience is.
So you led me to a point here. You led me to a point. And you now being a mother. And now you being a mother. It's crazy because wow, you're a mother. Yo. Mm-hmm. And you being a mother, do you think that there's a different type of strength that you have to have in being a mother versus you having that strength coming along?
Absolutely. Let's just get a little deep. When it comes to your mental health, you don't know if you can go anymore. You have that protective factor. That protective factor for me is my daughter. Whenever she got into this world, whenever she was born, that's when I knew. I was like, bro, I can't let my mental health get in the way of my relationship with her, letting me raise her the right way. Because I don't want her to be like me. I want her to be better than me. So I definitely can say that the strength that you have to have as a mom, especially a single one, is definitely not comparing to women who don't have children, because they have obstacles themselves. But yeah, you definitely have to have a different type of mindset as a mother in this world. You can't, there can't be no backslide. Can't be no backslide. Cannot. You have this, the decisions that you make for your child. That's point blank period.
So I'm gonna do this. I didn't tell you I was gonna do this, but I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna brag on you. Mm-hmm. I remember this probably after I first left North Carolina. I want to say, I remember I texted you. I remember I asked you how you was doing. I remember that's when you told me. Mm-hmm. And I remember. How scared you were. But the thing about it, probably what I'll never forget, is at the end of us talking, you said, I'm gonna be all right. I remember you saying that clear as day. You said, I'm gonna be all right. And it's like you hear people say it, but you know, when somebody, you know, somebody from the church, you know, they say, I'm going to be all right. You know, they really going to be all right.
You know, they're going to be all right.
Yeah. It's not like she said, I'm going to be all right. It's okay. No, you got to worry about me. What she said was, I'm going to be all right. Yeah. She's somebody, church mother. She going to be all right. So I had faith in her. She was going to be good. I remember that clear as day. If I could go back a little bit here. If I can go back a little bit, if you're just joining in, welcome to the season finale. I got Renasia here on the show with me today. So please join us. Please join us. We are having a conversation today on the strength, the power of Black women. I wanted to celebrate our Black women because we don't have a lot of celebration for our Black women in today's society. You look on social media, you look on the world, you look at what's going on, everybody's being celebrated, but our true backbone. And that's kind of leading me into where I'm going here. When you look back at when we were coming up in school, you know, coming up, you have any and everything going on. I remember, I know for me, and you probably know where I'm going. I know for me, I have my days where I mess with you. I have my days when I don't mess with you. I don't feel like talking. Let me be.
Yeah.
I would have my moments where, you know, certain people, they knew, okay, he ain't talking. I know what's going on. It's okay. So let him be. Let him be all right. Mm. Or you might have those moments where I'm like, hey, you might be like, hey, boy, sit your ass down. You look too hype.
Yeah.
Coming up in school, do you remember a time where you felt like, I know I got this, I know I can do this, but I just don't know?
You mean how far back are we going? You mean like high school, college? What do you mean?
Let's take it back to high school.
Oh man. I think with me it was controlling my emotions, like just not letting people get to me as much as I did. Middle school, high school, you know, I was very, I mean, yeah, you remember, I was very, I was just a little out there as far as like my temper and stuff like that. And I used to tell myself, you know, I have to do better. I have to be able to, you know, control my emotions and not let things get the best of me. So I think I wasn't confident in myself. So in return, I was, you know, I was lashing out. So, you know, I'm like, well, maybe I just need to protect myself a little bit more. Maybe I had to do more. You know, when people aren't confident, they try to make up for it in some way. So I think that's my time in school where I was like, you know, I just can't do it. And then a lot of people don't know this, but junior and senior year in high school, I was driving an hour back and forth to school every day because I didn't have anywhere to go. So I had to live with my grandmother. So, you know, I at that time, I definitely was, I don't know, it's just like a coming of age story. Like, why am I going through this? What is going on? You know, so I was just really stressed out. Like, I just don't think that I should have been going through that at 18 years old. So, yeah, there were a lot of times that, I mean, too many to even fit into this episode, but there were a lot of times where I was just like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. So, yeah.
So, in you going through all of that and surviving, first off, you survived. You are a survivor. Let me applaud you for that. You are a survivor, period.
Yeah.
And going through all of that, you mentioned confidence.
Mm-hmm.
What helped you from that time to now gain that confidence?
Ooh. I stopped caring about what other people thought of me, genuinely. Like, I just stopped caring. I was like, you know what? And nobody else is going to be able to build my confidence but myself. I can hear it from a million people. You're beautiful. You're great. You're smart. You're intelligent. But if I'm not thinking those things of myself, then it's not doing anything. You're just shooting words at me and they're hitting a brick wall because I'm not accepting them for myself. So I told myself, if I'm going to be angry, I'm going to be angry. If I'm going to be sad, I'm going to be sad. If I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to let people get in the way of that. I just allowed myself to feel everything. That's what built my confidence the most. And I'm still working on my confidence. I'm not the most confident person, but a little bit of my confidence came from me being able to express myself openly without feeling like people are judging me the way that I express myself. So I think that's what a lot of people should do. Stop thinking about other people and how they, you know, because a lot of people, they like to minimize you. You'll be upset about something and they're just like, oh, you shouldn't be that upset about that. You start saying those things to yourself. Somebody do something to you, you start telling yourself how you shouldn't feel that way. You can't tell yourself that. So now you're holding back your own emotions. It's building up on the inside. It's causing depression. It's causing stress. It's causing you to lash out on people because you're afraid that as soon as you feel some type of way about something, somebody's going to tell you you shouldn't feel that way. It's not up to them. It's up to you and how you feel and how you control your emotions. It has nothing to do. The most important thing in everything I just said was validating yourself. Validate yourself every single time. Every single time. Now, there's sometimes where you do have to be accountable and tell yourself, you know what? That may have been a little too extreme. I'm not telling you to express yourself while I'm punching everybody in the face, beating people up. Not telling you that. But it definitely starts with expressing yourself the way that you have to let off some steam and validate yourself. So that's where the foundation of my confidence began. Like, just I want to express myself the best way I know how without anybody else being in the way of that.
So you said to validate yourself, but also be aware that you do have to be accountable. So my question is, how can I tell the difference? How do I know the difference between validating myself and telling myself that I'm everything and then some versus me holding myself accountable? How will I know the difference?
Okay, no, what I mean holding yourself accountable is, let's just here's just an example. If I go out here and, you know, I know that if I go and rob a store, that I'm going to go I'm going to go to jail. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go to jail. That's not it. Now, at that point, you need to be holding yourself accountable because you made that decision. It's a consolidator. You know, we are a rob a store. We know that. But if someone makes me angry about something very important to me, somebody steals something from me. These are just little basic examples. And they tell me, well, you shouldn't feel like that. I'll give it back to you. You know what I'm saying? At that point, you need to be validating yourself and your feelings and letting that person know, I am right. You stole from me. That is wrong. So that's how that holding yourself accountable and then validate yourself is two totally different things. You know what I'm saying? I hope that answered your question. But if it didn't, you know, but that's what I meant by my previous statement.
No, that was perfect. That was,
yeah,
you did that, Evangelist. That was good. And if y'all don't know, I joke and kid all the time. She knows this.
Yeah.
So in finding your strength, you talked to us previously about how you found your strength. You talked to us previously about finding that confidence, and you just told us the difference between validating ourselves and holding ourselves accountable.
Yeah.
So in you learning all of this throughout your journey, how important was it for you to be able to find your voice?
It was very important. You know this because I don't know if you remember, but in a college, I went through a period of I was being cyberstalked and harassed. Mm-hmm. It happened for like 2 years straight. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to believe me. Everybody thought I was crazy. I lost a lot of friends because of that, because I wasn't really speaking up for myself. I wasn't really saying, you know, somebody is doing this to me and it's wrong. And I found out that, like I said before, people will minimize you. And it's up to you to be that voice for yourself and speak up for yourself and let people know. Holding on to things is not something that any of us should be doing. When she feels something is wrong, you need to speak up for yourself because, like you said, a lot of times Black women don't have a voice. Like I said, people are viewing us as these angry people, these people who have attitude. It's like, where does this come from? You know what I'm saying?
So let me do this.
Didn't care.
Let me do this. I'm gonna play devil's advocate here on what you just said.
Yeah.
So if I'm a Black woman and you said we have to be able to stick up for ourselves, right? Have that voice for ourselves. What if I don't know how to have that voice for myself? I don't know how to even begin to have that for myself. How do I go about getting that?
That's a good question. I think the best way for you to have a voice for yourself is knowing yourself. know what you want to speak up about and know what you want, know the reasons behind it. I'm not saying go out here and try to be a activist and you don't have no passion behind it. I'm saying know yourself, know why you want to speak up, know why you want that voice for yourself. It has to be a reason behind it. And you have to know yourself first to be able to do any of that. Because it's a lot of times that people who are very, I don't know if you've ever, like, it's, I'm pretty sure everybody has seen this before at some point in time in their life, but there's that one shy person all the time. They're always getting bullied and all this other stuff. And somebody tells them, you need to tell them to stop. And that person just all of a sudden one day goes off. It's not because they wanted to, it's because somebody told them to. If that person really didn't want to do that, they truly didn't know themselves. They didn't know how to handle that situation for themselves. So it's very important for you to know yourself and know why you want to speak up about something. Don't just go letting off, just saying anything. But, you know, just, you really have to know yourself. Mm. If you don't, then you're crashing. You're crashing out bad.
Mm. Know yourself. That is very, very important. Very, very important to know yourself and know who you are and whose you are, as they say. If you're just joining us, this is the season finale episode of the Black Dot Podcast. Like I said, I thank you guys for allowing me to get to a season finale because, you know, I didn't think that, you know, y'all liked me like that. But, you know, hey, we're here. So thank y'all so much for allowing me to do this and to run my mouth and talk that good talk. I'm joined by Ms. Renasia Powell. We just talked about strength. We talked about validation and taking accountability. We talked about finding your voice and finding confidence. So if you are just joining us, you are right in the middle of the good talk. So please stick around. You said something real important, really, really important to know yourself. Mm-hmm. I normally ask every guest that comes on, I normally ask them this. I'm going to ask you. Mm-hmm. If you could go back and talk to your younger self, whether it be in college, whether it be in high school, whether it be in middle school, if you could go back and talk to your younger self, what would you say to your younger self?
There's a quote, and I'm going to read it to you because it's very important to me. This is probably a quote that I read all of the time, just because I really don't even know how to explain it, but I definitely would say, and this is a quote by Zora Neale Hurston. The quote says, "There are years that ask questions and years that answer them." Mm. And y'all, I would tell my younger self that, because you have to go through some type of trials and tribulations to get to where God wants you to be, where he needs you to be. So all those years you're going through this stuff, you're like, God, why is this happening to me? Why are you throwing all these obstacles in my way? You know, you're not supposed to question God, but it happens. And then there's those years where he's blessing you with all this stuff. You're like, well, God, what did I do to deserve this? Remember those years where you were asking those questions? Mm. Those are your answers.
Praise the Lord.
So yo, that's definitely something I would tell my younger self, because it's definitely years. Hey, I'm asking questions now. I'm ready for an answer. I'm ready for those years where I'm getting answers. So you really have to be patient with yourself.
So I'm going to swing this. Yeah. I'm going to swing this around because you're giving me, you got to get out of my head because you're in my head right now. I caught on to what you said. And I know a lot of you listening caught on. You said in a lot of those years, a lot of times we question God as to why. Why are we going through this? Why do we have to endure this situation? Why do we have to go through some of this? And I remember some of the prayers that you prayed back in those days. I remember. Mm-hmm. My question to you, as a Black woman who is navigating through today's time and navigating through so much of what's going on in the world, and you're raising a child in this world. Mm-hmm. Not even just a child, but a Black child in this world. Mm-hmm. How important is faith for you as a Black woman in this time?
Oh, man. It's very, extremely personal to your life. Literally. You have to literally let go. You cannot hold on to it. As soon as you stop thinking about it, there you go. Boom. But that all comes with having that faith. You literally have to have faith. It's very important. I cannot do anything if I'm worrying about it. I'm steadily trying to work on the things that I've already asked God for. Why am I still working to do? But it's not working towards, but why am I still worrying about those things I've already asked God for, those things I've already prayed about? Why am I still trying to fix it myself? When it's, you know, it's very important. I can't even put it into words, because there's so many times where I'm going to be honest, I'm angry at God. I said, why is this happening? Do you want me to, what do you want me to do, you know? And it happens, but you have to have that faith. You have to push through. You have to do it. Sometimes you get tired. I'm not saying don't rest, but you have to think about those things. You have to think about your faith. You have to think about it. You have to keep it with you at all times.
So I heard somebody tell me this before. And they said that, and this was a Black woman I was talking to. And she said, as a Black woman, we don't get the opportunity to sit and cry and to sit and be in our emotions. And she was asking me, she was like, do you feel as a Black man that you get that chance to do it without judgment? And I told her, just for me personally, no, I don't. She was like, so take that, kind of put a times two on that. For us, we don't get the chance to sit in our emotions and feel and just be a woman. We have to deal with it, pick it up, keep it moving, because there's other things that is depending. And sometimes it's just life that's depending on us to be able to pick it up and keep it moving. So in hearing that, it made me go, wow, whoa, I never thought of it like that. And the older I get, the more I think about the things that I watched my mother go through. And in thinking about that, I know I've literally seen her do that where, okay, it happened. Okay, I got probably a minute to feel it. Let me go ahead and get this out and then just pick it up. Let's keep moving. Do you feel like for you, and you might be in this moment, you might have been in this moment last week, but do you feel like you've had the opportunity as a young Black woman to say, whoa, I'm in some shit and I'm hurting. This don't feel too right.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's been mentioned years. That I'm going to tell you no. I'm going to be honest with you. Not trying to shoot you some bull because you're on, you know, this podcast. No. And I'm going to be honest. I'm not okay because of that. And that's just real. That's just the honesty behind that. There is no resting. There is no getting that time to cry. I don't have the time to do that. I do it a lot, but I still don't have time to do it. Like, I literally have to pick myself back up and do the same thing I was crying about, because it's so hard for you to get out of that situation. It's so hard for you to pick yourself up and ask somebody, you know, hey, you know, I really need your help. It's not happening like that. It's not happening like that. I'm not getting the same attention towards my feelings and emotions as my white female counterparts. They're doing everything handed to them almost. That's what it seems like. And it all comes down to so many different things. I mean, stuff as serious as
My name is Renasia. Her name is Rebecca, but because her name is Rebecca, she gets the job. She's white. She's a white woman. She can have it. She can get that higher pay, even though she probably doesn't 10 times less qualified than I may be. It's little stuff like that that Black women do face. It's harder. It is. But
so,
we always manage to beat those odds.
I want to tell you this, and you guys have been listening to me this long, so you've probably heard me say this before, but I always feel like there's a certain power in saying, yo, I'm not okay. And I know for a fact, willing to bet money that I don't have on it, that there's lives that are going to be changed by hearing you say, I'm not okay. Things have happened. I've faced things. I've seen things come my way. I'm not okay with it. I'm pretty sure there's some Black woman, there's some little Black girl that's sitting there. And just to say this for anybody that's listening, this is not just a totally for Black people thing, but it's a totally for Black people thing, because I feel as though just like what you said before, you know that there's a good chance if you go for a job, Rebecca's going to get it versus you, who might be 10 times more qualified for it. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the same thing for us talking about getting our mental health and getting help for things that we're going through. Somebody else, Tom, might be able to get help quicker than me.
Yep.
Because skin color. So I want this episode to represent strength and power and a celebration of us being able to say, point blank period, I'm not okay. I'm going through. I make it look good, but I'm going through.
Right.
And for you to be able to have the power and strength to say, yo, I'm not okay. This is what I went through. This is what I'm facing right now. That I feel like that might have saved a life. Because somebody might be sitting at home listening to this. They had a bad day. They had a bad week. They might have lost a loved one.
Yeah.
Their lottery ticket might not have hit, but they going through. And they feel like, I'm not okay right now. And you having the strength to say, yo, I'm not okay. I feel like that's going to do a lot more than what me and you even realize. And I definitely think that you're going to change a lot of like, y'all know I don't like crying, so I'm fighting back tears now. I shouldn't have brought you on here. So that's going to do a lot for a lot of people. If you could talk to a child who hasn't even faced their first trial in life, or they might be facing it, don't even realize it, what would you say to that child who is sitting at home and they're wondering, how am I going to get through this? Or is it going to be okay? What would you say?
I would say, always remember that there is a warrior in you ready to fight, but you have to be there with it. There is a warrior ready to fight inside of you. There is always going to be something inside of you ready to go against all odds. Like, just be great, but you have to work for it. You have to work for it. You're the only person that can do that. And I know that sounds so basic and so simple, but a lot of children don't know how great they are, and they literally have to face some type of adversity just to figure that out. When somebody's all along should have been telling them, a lot of Black children, let me correct myself, a lot of Black children don't know that how amazing and how strong they are and how capable they are of doing anything they want to do in this life because somebody's not telling them. We should have, our generation and generations prior, not saying that all parents or family members or people that were just, mentors in our lives, They should have been telling us that. You are amazing. You are great. You are wonderful. You are powerful.
But why is that important to hear?
Black people go through so much. We know that. We know that. We go through so much. It's important to hear that. I can't put it into words. It's important to know that about yourself. Because when you reach that, some type of adversity in your life, you've never been through anything, and you're standing there, you don't know what to do. Because you don't have it there in you. Nobody's been telling you all along, like, this is going to happen, but you are going to do amazing. You have the power. You have it in you. I feel like that's just something that we all should have been, that should have been instilled in us from the very beginning. And I for a fact, I didn't have that good. I had to literally be able to tell myself that. So I definitely would tell a child that. I'll tell my own child that. Whenever it's her time, she's oblivious right now. She's only 5. But whenever she gets this, whenever she gets old enough to understand, she would definitely know.
Y'all, this has been a powerful, powerful episode. Before we wrap here, I just want to tell you, Renasia, thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Thank you for speaking your heart. Thank you for sharing your journey with all of us. I cannot tell you enough how much I appreciate you for this. To everybody who is listening, first off, I said that this was for Black women. I want to tell every Black woman that is listening to this, whether you're a mother, a sister, a cousin, doctor, lawyer, whatever you are, thank you. In case nobody has told you, thank you for being the backbone for all of us as men when we needed it and when we didn't even know we needed it. Thank you for being that backbone, for being that rock. First off, thank you for giving us life. Thank you for the gift of life, the gift of love. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To everybody, thank you so much for allowing me to get to a season finale. Thank you so much. I know I joke, I know I kid around and stuff, but really, I thank you. I appreciate you for allowing a dream to flourish and to happen. Dream you making no money, but the dream is a dream. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here and do this. This is simply for us to heal and to love just a little bit more than we did yesterday. So thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. Renasia, thank you. Anything else you have to say to the people before we depart?
I just want them to remember that quote. Remember that quote. I definitely think it helped me a lot. I'm going to read it one more time just so you can just, I want it to be embedded in your brain. But this quote is by Zora Neale Hurston. It is, there are years that ask questions and years that answer them. That's all I have left to say.
Yeah, this is one for the books, y'all. So thank y'all so much for joining us here. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. If y'all want to follow Renasia, I will put her social media, all of that in the link for you guys, all that good stuff. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. Until next time, see you guys for season 4. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Roll through the town, escalating the mouth. Roll through the town, escalating the mouth. Roll through the town, escalating the mouth. Roll through the town, escalating the mouth.
Better black sheep sipping my waves. Fiddle legs pushing.
chopping up on my business. Be damn if I be last. Late night making plans on how to maintain when getting. Stop.